1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I started a series a number of weeks ago titled Walking with God. And we looked at, first of all, that the first step we take with walking with God is faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the first step we take in our walk with God is faith. We place our faith in him. We place our faith in the second person of the triunity of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says all over, again, that we must have faith. Faith in God and what God has done for us. But what does it say in Romans chapter 10? That the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they haven't believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, the gospel of peace, who bring good news of glad tidings. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? How God has designed this whole thing is through the preaching of his word as we respond in faith this morning. Now, the second step in walking with the Lord develops friendship. And this friendship is not like any other friendship because we become friends with the God of this universe. Imagine that God will want to be our friends. Why would he want us as his friends? The Bible says, but when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In Romans 5:10. We become his friends when we obey him, because in John 15:14 it says, whoever does what I command them is my friend. So friendship with God is based upon our obedience to him and to his word. And that's how we develop our friendship. As we read the scriptures, we become more intimate with him as we understand more about him. Now, the third step in walking with God and walking with the Lord mandates fellowship. And let's define fellowship first of all, because I think most of us know what fellowship is. But scripturally, this is how it's defined. It's communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do we mean by communion? It's just not coming to the communion table or the Lord's table. It's actually getting to know him. We use this word fellowship, but it also has this idea of participation, being involved with him. And so God wants us to have fellowship with him. Another way that we can define fellowship is in sharing in our common faith. I believe that most of you are here this morning because you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right or wrong? So our common denominator is Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. Because we belong to him. He's our Savior. And we are his children. Another way that we could define that is that we have intimate bond of companionship with one another in the body of Christ. Churches are defined by fellowship with one another. The Word of God says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. But come together all the more as you see the day, which means the second coming of Christ, as you see the day approaching, that we may do what? Encourage one another. And we all need encouragement. Do you need any encouragement this morning? Boy, we need it every day, don't we? We never know what the day holds, do we? But aren't you thankful you know who holds the day? We just sang, walking in the steps of Jesus. And sometimes Jesus takes us down a path or a trail that we really don't want to go down. But he's walking with us because he is our Savior. He is our friend. And we are enjoying the fellowship with him and with one another. Now, in 1 John, I want you to just follow as I read the entire chapter. There are only 10 verses. And then I'm going to explain to you a false teaching that was very prevalent that John is addressing in this letter. Beginning with verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life that was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's bow again. Father, we thank you for what we just read. We know that it is your holy word. It is truth. It is light to us. And again, as we enter into this discussion this morning on fellowship, may your word be spoken through this pulpit and through this mic. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we get into this book, there's a heresy, a false teaching that was very prevalent. I think most of you know the story of John, that he was the last surviving disciple that lived to be, at least when he was 90, I think he was exiled on the island of Patmos. But if you remember your history, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was sacked and destroyed. And so the disciples were scattered. And John ended up in Ephesus. And that was really an intellectual center. It had a huge library. And there was a church established there, we know by Paul. But you know how things happen as time goes on? Sometimes error creeps in, false teaching creeps in. And that's what happened, because we're looking here several decades later. And so John, obviously being there, wanted to teach them the truth about who Jesus is, and the truth about what fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ, because there was a false teaching, and we're going to look at that. It was called Gnosticism. Now, can we get that up there? Do we have that information on the video this morning? Do we have that? Maybe we don't. It's not in the notes, Alan? I'm not putting any pressure on you. I told my secretary to have it in there. Okay, there we go. Actually, that word, the sentence that was before that is fellowship. If you notice, in this particular chapter, it appears four times. So that's kind of the main idea in this chapter. But Gnosticism, gnosis, the Greek word gnosis means knowledge. And so Gnosticism is defined here. And we need to understand what it is defined. Can you go to the next one? Is one of the most dangerous heresies of the first two centuries of the church. And again, it was Gnosticism. You can continue on. Its central teaching was that spirit is entirely good and matter is entirely evil. They had a dualism. Matter was evil, spirit was good. Okay, the next one. From this unbiblical dualism flowed four important errors. And here's the first one. The human body, which is matter, is therefore evil. It is to be contrasted with God, who is Holy Spirit and therefore good. That is the first one, as I've already referenced the two. Salvation is the escape from the body achieved, it should be achieved there with a D, not by faith in Christ, but by special knowledge. So they had this doctrine that was saying, it's not by faith, it's by this secret special knowledge. It's very mystical, and only a few could attain to that. And it was definitely not in the flesh, it was in the spirit. Okay, let's go to number three. Christ's true humanity was denied in two ways. So they denied that Jesus had become flesh because, remember, flesh is evil. Matter is evil. So they denied that Jesus had come in the flesh. Some said that Christ only seemed to have a body, a view that is called docetism. Others said that the divine Christ joined the man Jesus at baptism and left him before he died. So Jesus really wasn't that physical person that we thought he was. He never really did take upon flesh, only at certain moments. So that was one of the false teachings that was very prevalent during this era of John. This next one, paradoxically, this dualism also led to licentiousness. Now, isn't that a big word, licentiousness? Well, licentiousness is having a license to sin. And there are believers today who say, well, I'm saved by faith, therefore it doesn't matter what I do with my body. Well, wrong. God has saved us from sin. We don't want to sin anymore. But we do occasionally sin, but we shouldn't be sinning all the time. That's what licentiousness is. It's just ignoring the law of God and sinning, because sinning doesn't matter anyway because the flesh is evil to begin with. The reasoning was that since matter was considered evil, breaking God's law was of no moral consequence. Okay, next one. So, what does fellowship with the Lord involve? Let's go back to the scriptures this morning. Let's go to verse 1 first of all, and you'll see John addressing those issues, especially this false teaching of Gnosticism. In the very first verse we read, that which was from the beginning, what is he talking about? The beginning of all time and the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down to us, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Look at the evidence here. John is saying we've seen it with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, we've touched. We touched the physical Jesus. Concerning the word of life, again a reference to the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. You know, this mystery, it's not a mystery, but they wanted to call it a mystery, of God coming down to us as man. It says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man and men. And being found in his appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus literally took upon himself flesh. And that was the only way that we could have our sins forgiven, was for Jesus to become one of us. We also understand that we have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He was made in all points as we are, yet without sin, according to Hebrews chapter 4. So Jesus took upon himself flesh. He became one of us. And why was that so important? And why is this doctrine that we're talking about so devastating to our Christian faith? It's because when Jesus hung on the cross, he literally took our place. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He literally took our place on the cross. It's called substitutionary atonement. And so it's destroying that whole doctrine, because it's no longer Christ alone. It's this secret knowledge alone. Do you see that connection? Do you know what parallels that today? You know, people who look at crystal things, and, you know, we call it the New Age movement. Somehow you get this secret thing and you can attain salvation. Well, we know the scriptures say there is no salvation, which is other than the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is quite prevalent as we look at the scriptures here this morning. And that's what John is addressing, first of all, is that Jesus literally became a human being. He was fully God and fully man. as we understand the doctrine of our Savior. And then look at verse 3. He starts this thing about fellowship. And we're going to answer that first question, walking in the light and truth of God's word. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship, participation, communion. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. What a blessed thing to know that we can have fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And to walk with them. The fact that reality is that He walks with us and talks with us along life's weary path and trail. So what does this entail? What does this involve as we look at fellowship? Look at verse 4. In these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Anybody lacking joy this morning? Do you need some joy? Looking at you, I think you do. Have you had your cup of coffee this morning? Some people get joy when they have their cup of coffee. Well, that's something we do physically. But how about spiritually? Where do we get that joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. See, joy emanates from Him because He's the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. And He's the one who gave us eternal life. Is that something to get excited about? This eternal life that we will live with Him forever? I can honestly confess to you, as the older I get, the more I look forward to it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love life. I love doing a lot of things in life. But the thought of being eternally with God is a wonderful thought. The joy of eternal life. And then there's a joy that we can walk with Him while we're sojourning on this earth. Again, as we sang that song, step by step, sometimes we go into an area that's very difficult. And the Lord is still there with us to comfort us, to encourage us, to help us through it. I'm so thankful that He never forsakes us nor abandons us, aren't you? That He's always there. You see, our God's in the present. He's not in the past. He's in the present. And He's always present with us as we go through this life. So the first answer to this question, as we understand fellowship, is going to be found in the next few verses here as we look at what this fellowship is defined by. It's defined by, in verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Our God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. Now here we're talking more of a moral thing, not just a visual thing, but God is obviously in the light. In fact, whenever we see a theophany or Christophany in the Bible, what is the response that people typically have to something like that? They fall on their face because it is so brilliant. The light is so brilliant, and they can't even hardly look upon it, especially as we look at the book of Revelation in chapter 1 and see the reaction to Jesus Christ showing up. His glory is so beautiful and so magnificent. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And as we realize again that light is a symbol to us of what is pure, it also reveals to us what is morally correct. Darkness usually represents sin morally. And walking in darkness is usually what happens to people when they start walking in sin. It gets darker and darker and darker until they come to the light. Do you know that God says His word is light? Because God is the author of this word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if you need more light in your life, pick it up. Pick up the word of God. This is light. It reveals to us what darkness is. How do we even know what darkness is without the Word of God? God reveals to us what is light and also what is true. Light and truth. And that's Gnosticism, was denying truth, denying the truth of God's Word. It's no different today. We live in an age that is so relative. It's whatever you think or feel is right. Well, truth is maybe something for you and something else for me. But there is absolute truth. Are you aware of that? And there's absolute error. And I want to be on the side of truth. I don't want to be on the side of the darkness and error of this world. Because the world and the lust of it is soon going to pass away. But whoever does the word of the will of God is going to abide forever. And so this morning, as we look at light and we look at truth, I think sometimes we underestimate that every time we pick up the scriptures, God is revealing to us light and truth and how we need that as we walk down this path called life, because sometimes it can be very dark. Are you folks aware that our age is becoming darker? Are you aware of that? Have you seen more darkness out there? More immorality? Calling evil good? We're living in an age that is taking place today at an unprecedented speed. It just staggers me sometimes how I see how quickly we are descending into more darkness. And we know that darkness does not like light, as we read in John chapter 3. Why? Because light reveals what's going on in the darkness. And those who are walking in the darkness don't want to be revealed. They don't want their sin to be revealed. I'm so thankful this morning that God has given us truth and light, and that we can understand what truth and light is and walk accordingly to God's word. And that's the first, I guess you could say, this definition of fellowship with the Lord, walking in the light and truth of God's word. If somebody is not walking in the light and truth of God's word, they're not walking in fellowship with God. It's as simple as that. It's no different when Jesus said, if you really want to be my friend, what did he say? Do whatever I command you. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. And we understand this morning that if we're walking in darkness and walking in sin, we are no longer walking in fellowship with the Lord. Now, you might say as we continue on here, wait a minute here, the Bible does say we sin. Yeah, that's, we do occasionally sin. I don't know if you got up this morning with the goal of sinning. Anybody get to have that goal this morning? Sometimes we sin, don't we? But it's not habitual sin, I hope and trust. If it's habitual sin, we're in trouble, because God wants us to forsake that sin and to move forward in our walk with Him. It's called repentance. Do you know that pastors sometimes don't want to preach about repentance today? Because many people don't want to change. They want to justify themselves rather than confess their sins. They want to say, hey, I'm okay. Again, I can do whatever I want. I can be saved and live any way I want to. I've had individuals say to me, Pastor, I can live like the devil and still be saved. And I said, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. Now, the Bible says if we happen to sin, we can confess our sins, because He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But if we're always sinning and we're always forsaking and moving in another direction, we should probably question, are we in a relationship with Christ? I'm not going to lie to you this morning, but the truth has to come out. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you establish a relationship with Him that'll never end when you're truly born again. The Bible says when you're born again spiritually, you'll never be unborn spiritually. But then when you're born again into the family of God, either you're going to be an obedient child or a disobedient child. And I've actually had individuals say to me, well, Pastor, I still like my sin. And I say, wait a minute here. That shouldn't be true, because the Holy Spirit who regenerates us, the Holy Spirit who baptizes us into the body of Christ, convicts us of that sin and wants to lead us out of that sin, because sin is always so destructive to our fellowship with the Lord. I know I'll never be perfect. I know you'll never be perfect. We have a Savior who is perfect. And when we stumble, and when we occasionally fall into a sin, the scriptures are going to say to us, confess that sin and allow the Lord to wash you and to cleanse you once again. So we're walking in the light and truth of God's word. And I am so thankful that I can preach from the word of God, because that is my particular command from God, preach the word in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, because their ears become itching. They will gather around those who are going to tell them fables, tell them stories they want to hear. I believe that most of you came here this morning to hear the word of God. Am I correct about that? Did you come here to hear Stan Nelson? Boy, if you did, you're in trouble. And I pray before I get up here that I'll preach the word, not preach what Stan thinks or says. And so I've studied this. So relationship is something that's eternally secure. Do you know that we as Baptists believe in eternal security? Do you know that? Well, we have other believers who are eternally insecure. Did you get that? And I feel for them, because every time they sin, they feel like they've lost their relationship. You don't lose your relationship with God. Again, either you're going to be a faithful, obedient child, or you're going to be a disobedient child. And what does God do to a disobedient child? According to Hebrews 12, what does he do? He chastises. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Why does God do that? Because he loves us, and he wants to correct us. You know, I'm not going to pick on this beautiful family up here, but I know, Mom and Dad, you love these children, don't you? Do you ever correct them? Why do you correct them? Why don't you just let them do their own thing all the time? Well, I know why. It's because you know they need correction. They need discipline. Because if you don't correct them, I know of somebody who will. They're called the police. They're called the jail people. They're called the prison system. That's just the reality. And that's why you love your children enough to correct them. God loves us enough to correct us. Aren't you thankful for that? We need correction just like children do. Because sometimes we wander. Sometimes we sin. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin and allows us to confess that sin and to be washed and to be cleansed. Walking in the light involves obedience to the Word of God. Secondly, not walking in the darkness of the world. We see this in John chapter 2, a definition of the world. And I think most of you know this because it's quite common to us who have studied the Scriptures. It says in verse 15 of chapter 2, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, maybe you've heard this phrase before. There goes a worldly Christian. Have you ever heard that? I have. Well, what is that statement saying? It's saying it's a believer who is living more like the world than living like a follower of Christ. The truth is, if someone's walking in the world, we need to examine our hearts again. Is that where we want to be? Hopefully the Holy Spirit convicts us and reveals to us, no, that's not where I want to be. I want to be in fellowship with Christ. Do you know some of the most miserable believers I've met on the face of this earth are worldly Christians? Because they're constantly under the chastisement of God. So when the Holy Spirit convicts us, our response should be, yes, Lord, and forgive me of my sin, rather than trying to justify our sin and to say, this is how I want to live in my way, according to my rules, according to my law. So we don't want to walk in the darkness. We don't want to walk in sin anymore, because God has delivered us from the kingdom of sin and the domination of sin. So there's actually three things that I want to leave with you concerning this as we can continue on here. In verse 6 we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, according to the light of his word, we have fellowship with one another. Not only do we have fellowship with God, but we have fellowship with one another. Do you folks enjoy coming here on Sunday morning? Or is it a tedious, boring experience for you? Okay, you can say if you like to be here or not. It's okay. I mean, I love coming here on Sunday mornings. I look forward to you. I was at a reunion, and I can say this because my wife isn't here. No. It'll get back to her, so I have to be careful. It was on her dad's side of the family. My wife was a voice, V-O-I-S-S, and she got ribbed a lot because her name was Voice, and she always sat in the back seat by those, you know, alphabetically, V. So she didn't really appreciate that name. When she married me, she said she moved up in the alphabet. She became an N, a Nelson, and she appreciated that because she was tired of being a voice. Now, on my wife's side of the family, they have reunions on her mother's side every other year, and now they just started every other year for her father's side. So every year we have a reunion with her family. And so I know some of those people, but I don't know a lot of them, especially on her father's side. So I spent Friday evening and Saturday yesterday down at Park Rapids because that's where we gathered for her Voice family reunion. And it wasn't a big turnout, you know, maybe 30 out of a possible 150. And we understand it's difficult to get people together because everyone has their plans in the summer, especially in August. And so while I was there, it reminded me that, and my wife knows that many of them are not believers. They're not. And they didn't want to argue religion. You know, they posted on some of their Facebooks. They didn't want to talk about politics and religion. And I thought, what else is there to talk about? I mean, really. So there we were, being quiet. And I thought, well, I took a risk yesterday because I gave them John 3:16 cards. I went around to them individually and I said, I'm going to be leaving here shortly, but I want you to know something. God loves you. Jesus came to save you from your sin. And here's a card just to remind you of that, John 3:16. Didn't say anything about me, didn't say anything about our church, it's just John 3:16. And I hope and pray that they read that and they come to know Christ. Because I was there realizing again, not only because I'm a pastor, but I believe there's a hell. And I don't want them to go to hell. The greatest thing I could have done for them yesterday was preach to them, but they didn't want to hear me preach. They probably would have stoned me in Park Rapids. First incidents of stoning in Park Rapids. But anyway, the burden of sharing light and truth was on my heart the whole time I was there. Because I was around those people, even though I didn't have fellowship like I have fellowship with you. I was there fellowshipping with them, but I knew they didn't have fellowship with God. And I looked at them and I thought, oh, if you could only know the joy of the Lord. If only you could fellowship with Him. You would have true joy in life. That's what people are missing. They're missing the joy of the Lord. They're missing having a Savior who loves you, who died for you, and is coming back for you. So, as we sum up here this morning, according to the Apostle John, and I'll have you read those other verses. Excuse me, I'm getting all choked up here again this morning. I come from a long family of that. By the way, her family is very stoic. You know what I mean by that? No emotion. Here I come in, emotional Stan, you know? According to the Apostle John, genuine fellowship with the Lord is marked by correct belief, correct doctrine, biblical belief. We have to preach the word, a whole counsel of the word. Obedience to Him. Obedience to Him, doing what He tells us to do. And then finally, love for one another in the body of Christ. And I believe that we are a congregation that truly loves one another, because without love, We are nothing. We are absolutely nothing without the love of God in relationship to one another. Oh, beloved, love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves God knows God and is born of God. For God, you know, those who don't love God do not know God, for God is love. And this was manifested to us when God sent his only begotten Son, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, let us love one another. Amen? See, that's really, when people walk through the doors of this building, they should immediately sense that we love God and that we love them. Now, is it easy to love those who are unlovable? And I'm not saying my relatives on her side of the family are unlovable. Don't misread that. I mean, they were nice people, okay? They were very nice people. And they were nice to me. But you know, there's a big difference coming here this morning and having fellowship with you than what I've had the last 2 days. There's a big difference. Because we are bonded in Christ. We belong to Christ. And we are one in Christ. Isn't that marvelous? When one sheds a tear, do we all? We should. We should encourage one another as we go through this life. When someone has joy, should we have joy with them? We should. That's the way the body should act. Well, this morning, I trust that we'll enjoy this fellowship with our Lord and with his church, his body, and with one another. Father, we thank you again this morning that you've given to us just wonderful, wonderful words this morning. And we thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it's light and truth to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can have fellowship with you, that we can have fellowship with one another in the body of Christ, where we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.